hear the word from Romans 15, from verses 5 through to 13. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope in him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, David. This month we're looking at some of the texts where we are blessed, where the person writing is seeking to bless people. Can we just put verse 13 back up, please, John? And this is the text for today. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sounds great, doesn't it? That's what we want. It's what we are searching to get towards. We take a lot of knocks along the way, but that's what God is doing with us. Overflowing. We were thinking about it in a different text with the children earlier in the service, this idea that God presses it down, he shakes it down into our container. As we give, as we're generous to other people, God gives back to us. And in verse 13, the key word is the word hope. What we are to overflow with is hope. God is described as the God of all hope. And we are the ones who are to overflow with the hope that God has given to us. So a couple of things at the start about this. The first thing is to say there is no magic cure that will suddenly turn us into wonderfully hopeful people. We'll get onto this in a minute. Paul writes quite a bit about hope earlier on in this letter. And he sees hope as being the end point of a long process. And the strange thing about this process is that to get to the point of real hope, you often have to go through circumstances that pull against you to stop you from hoping. You know, there's the old joke, you know, that if you ask God to give you patience, he will keep you waiting to teach you. And when God wants to work hope into our lives, he may place us into circumstances where all hope seems lost. And it's in that position that we actually discover what it means to hope. I came across a couple of quotes this week. Here's one of them. "Our finest moments are most likely to occur when we are feeling deeply uncomfortable, unhappy, or unfulfilled. It's only in such moments, propelled by our discomfort, that we are likely to step out of our ruts and search for different ways or truer answers. And that's very true. Often when we come to God, we come to God because we want to be made comfortable. We want to feel better about how things are. Often people turn away from God when they discover he's not making them feel particularly comfortable. But it's in that discomfort, it's in that unease that God teaches us hope. So if you feel that you are in that position of discomfort or unease at the moment, without trying to be glib at all, I want to say God is at work within that. And what God wants to produce in there is hope. And that quote's by M. Scott Peck. One from Richard Rohr. The indwelling spirit is the ability of humanity to keep going, to keep recovering from its wounds, to keep hoping. That's the sign of the Holy Spirit within us. One thing we love so much about young children is their hope, curiosity, and desire to grow. That's three things, never mind. They fall down, and soon they're all grins again. Another generation is going to try to live life to the fullest, but all too often, by the time they are 60, they don't smile so much, and we ask what happened between 6 and 60. I see this as loss of spirit, because if you trust that the Holy Spirit is alive within you, you will keep on despite every setback. There's no quick fix to hope. But I also want to say that there is every point in blessing each other with those words from Romans 15, verse 13. Paul expected that when he wrote these to his friends who lived in Rome, that this prayer of blessing was going to make a difference to them. He expected that God would act because he said it. Now, we're looking at blessing texts at the moment. A couple of weeks ago at the all-age service, we were talking about the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord take care of you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Last week, we were talking about the text, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And today, we come to this blessing. And what we're going to try and do today is to speak this text out over each other. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our God wants to help us to grow in terms of our hope. He wants us to grasp what the hope is that he has given to us. Hope often gets crushed by real life. I wrote in my blog this week about my childhood experiences of supporting Raith Rovers, that football team currently in the depths of the Scottish League One. And as a child, I became fanatical about supporting Raith Rovers. I went to all the matches. And one of my big growing up moments in life, I'd always hoped that one day Raith Rovers would produce a really good team, that somehow some really good players would come up. I always hoped that one day they'd be able to take on Celtic and Rangers. And then one day, for not the first time, they had a player who was good. He was scoring goals. He was making a serious impact on the team. He scored a hat-trick in a Scottish Cup replay, and we went through to the next round. And I was thinking, Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the new dawning. I wouldn't have used language like that in those days, but maybe this is the new dawning for Raith Rovers. Anyone know what happened? Of course they did! Because there were improvements that they needed to do with the ground. They sold him. And James made one of his transitions from childhood optimism to being the adult cynic. Because he realised that even if Raith Rovers somehow by luck found 11 fantastic players, they wouldn't keep them. And they were never going to become a great team. Forgive me if you're in Concordian listening to this today. But they did, I mean, in fairness, they did win the Scottish League Cup in 1994. I treasure the moment. And then they had to spend money on their ground and everything went wrong again. It always happened. But perhaps as we get older, we start to become more cynical. Perhaps as we get older, we start to think that things aren't going to change. But Paul tells us, by example, to bless one another and to speak God's word into our lives by his Holy Spirit. We can pray for that today. We can ask God to do something within us. Now, Paul sees hope as being the result of a process. He actually says, and it's very similar to that Richard Rohr quote, he says that hope starts with suffering. Hope doesn't start when things go well. I mean, suppose every prayer I ever prayed was answered the way I wanted it. How would I ever learn hope? Prayer starts with suffering. And in suffering, you learn to persevere. You learn to stick in it. And as we learn to do that, our character starts to change. God starts to teach us how he wants us to behave. And then out of that, we learn the hope that God wants to give. And Paul says, along this whole journey, what God is doing is he is pouring out his Holy Spirit into our lives. So Paul isn't saying, try hard, work hard at hope, and it will work. What he's saying is, in everything, God is working to make you somebody who is full of hope in God, full of hope in God's purposes, full of hope that God is working out his plan for the world. And many, many Christians across the ages testify that this is true. Often the people who are best at hoping are the people who have been through the worst of circumstances. Also in Paul's letter to the Romans, he talks about creation as being like a woman in labour. Now, as I've never given birth, I hesitate slightly to talk about this, but Paul does talk about it. And he talks about the way that there is this time in giving birth of pain and agony, often, which sometimes we know can go on for a long time. But the thing is that in the childbirth, something wonderful is happening. And Paul is encouraging us that hope is like this. Hope is not saying everything tomorrow is going to be comfortable. Hope is not saying everything's going to be fine. Hope is saying, like the mother who is in labor, this hurts. This is big time hurt, but something wonderful is going to come. Of course, tragically, we know that in real life, the good ending doesn't always happen. And our hearts go out to people who, for whom that's true. But as far as God's plan for the creation is concerned, God's creation is going to work. God is going to give it together. As Paul develops this picture, he says, we are saved in this hope. And we hope for what we don't have. And we wait for it patiently. And then he says, the Spirit helps us to pray. We haven't got a clue what to pray for, Paul says. But the Spirit, God's Spirit is working within us. And God's Spirit is groaning within us, and the prayers mix with our prayers, and they go to our Father in heaven, and God hears. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and with all peace as you trust in Him. Just before the reading that we had from David is the one that we looked at the very beginning of the service, that everything written in the scriptures was written to encourage us so that we might have hope. And Paul says that as the Holy Spirit works in us to give us hope, one of the results in that will be joy. The kingdom of God, he says, is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings real joy. It's different to other sorts of joy. And he says that the God of hope will give us not just joy, but also peace. And that word peace describes being in really healthy. It means being well. It means being in good relationships with other people. Paul says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 12, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 14, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace. And the final verse of chapter 15. May the God of peace be with you all. So God wants his Spirit to work in our lives, to give us joy, to give us peace, so that we may overflow with hope. And this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to take communion together. We're going to take bread and wine. And as we do it, I'm going to ask you to pray for each other. Now, for some of us, this may be an important moment, obviously so. We may find that God's Holy Spirit does things within us that are really noticeable. For others of us, there might be nothing obvious at all that happens this morning, and please, that's fine. Because we're not looking for the spectacular thing here today. What we're looking for is God within us. But you might just find that at some time during the week, something happens, and it could have destroyed you, but you find that it doesn't. And you find this quiet presence or this quiet voice within you that says it's okay. God's in charge. God knows what he's doing. You might find that there's something this week that really tests your character. You might find that something happens where you are angry. And suddenly the fact that the Bible says that human anger doesn't bring about God's purpose doesn't matter anymore because you are angry. And every one of us knows what that's like, I think. But maybe the Lord will come alongside and he'll show us peace. And he'll show us that what he's actually doing is building our character within all of this. So we're going to sing before we take communion together. And I wanted to pick a song that's a real song of faith. So we're going to sing My Hope Is Built. There it is in the first line. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So if you're able, let's stand and let's sing this together and let's speak out this word of faith. Some can sing this from our feeling today. For some of us, it's a matter of declaring what we know to be true or hope to be true, even though we don't actually feel it. Let's sing it together.